Greetings, this is Cindy Kennedy, and I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast series at www.livingwithlyme.us. This will keep you up to date on all our new releases. Living with Lyme podcast guests may be discussing very controversial topics. The information contained in these podcasts are from the guests' personal experiences and are their own opinions. These podcasts are intended for information. The opinions expressed are solely the guest's own. Please discuss treatment options with your personal healthcare providers before changing or adding treatments. Enjoy the podcast.
Living with Lyme is brought to you in part by Dr. Inspired Formulations, a supplement company offering products such as liposomal artemisinin, liposomal oregano oil, and mimosa pudica. Patients can purchase without a prescription, and practitioners can open a wholesale account and carry the products in their office. To learn more, visit drinspiredformulations.com. That's drinspiredformulations.com. We'd also like to thank Hopkinton Drug. Many people have unique healthcare needs that mass-produced pharmaceutical medications just can't meet. That's why more people turn to Hopkinton Drug, a locally based compounding and wellness pharmacy. Whether it's Lyme disease, mold illness, thyroid, hormone replacement therapy, pediatrics, or dermatology, Hopkinton Drug's specially trained and licensed pharmacists can create customized compounded medications to meet your specific needs. Shipping is available nationwide. Go to rxandhealth.com. That's rxandhealth.com. Or call 800-439-4441. Hopkinton Drug, compounds with care.
Hi, everybody. This is your host, Cindy Kennedy, and you're in for a treat today. I am with Frida Hobbs, and Frida is an industry expert, and she's been featured in Forbes, and she works closely with a team of nearly 700 consultants nationwide, creating safe spaces for people to talk about the most intimate part of their lives. You can kind of call her a top sex educator. And I met Frida at Campowerment, and we want to give a shout out to Campowerment. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So we both, I'm sure, want to say hi to Tammy Leader Fuller and Chelsea Fuller and the whole Campowerment crew that's out there. Hi, Frida. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I am doing okay. Yeah, you were an expert at the last Campowerment that was held on the East Coast. How did they find you?
So I actually attended my first Campowerment before I ever was in the toy industry. It was a month after my mom died. I was friends with another expert, one of the first experts, and she invited me to camp. And then about a year later, I kind of started this direct sales business initially for fun and found that I had a unique niche.
Yeah.
Talking about sex and sexuality, and I'm funny, evidently, that's what people tell me. And so I was already a member of the Campowerment community, but as I started to grow my network, in the industry, Tammy and Chelsea kind of saw what I was up to outside of camp and brought me in as an expert, and it has been an entertaining journey.
You know what? You get a bunch of women together,
yeah,
and they're either going to complain or they're going to talk about sex.
Right.
Women, that's just what we do. And sometimes we just complain about sex, right?
Right.
Right? Because the guys are usually the more interested per se. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I've practiced gynecology for 20 plus years. And as we were talking before we started recording, I left about 6 months or so ago and started my own integrative practice, myself and my daughter, Kara. She's a registered dietitian. So we're kind of spinning this a little bit and looking at reasons why chronic illness is a problem for people. And there seems to be a need for that adjunct care in primary care because there's only so much they can do. There's only so much training primary care people have. So, you know, we need to kind of fill that niche. You know, we talked about that niche and we need to do that. But yeah, for anyone who is interested, go and look at Campowerment and that's camp, like C-A-M-P, power, of course, O-W-E-R-M-E-N-T. And this is a great place to allow yourself to become you, or really to find you.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, camp has, I've forged some relationships at Camp Powerment that have been amazing. And I really just have evolved as a person. And it's kind of my, it's my happy place. I can go and unplug, you know, for 3 or 4 days every time I go to camp and meet new people. And it just really is a chance. You know, one of the things that Tammy says is it's hard to make girlfriends as an adult. And it is a place where you can go and make new girlfriends at, you know, 45, 50 years old, giggle and laugh and talk about sex and spend a little money.
That's true. You do spend a little bit of money. It's fun stuff. I got a really cool jean jacket, you know, the kind that you put all the patches on. And you know what? It's also a place to find your inner person that you've been missing, or, you know, hear other stories. And for me, I this past year, I jumped off of a 45-foot telephone pole.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations is right. So I thought maybe because you are so experienced in the world of sexuality, it's probably not a topic that really is explained a lot, but when people have chronic illness like Lyme disease, that sexual component can really be an issue. And, you know, let's talk about some ways of what you feel like people need to know. And, you know, certainly if you get stuck with something because you just don't have that, you know, thought going through your head, let's shoot it back to me, because I really actually have a lot of experience in this world. Certainly, you know, 7/8 of my days were spent talking about sexuality. And you know what? I think that in the locker room for guys, they talk about how great they are. And women are afraid to say what they're feeling. You know, they might complain a lot, but I don't know. So what do you think about it when it comes to something as difficult as being sick?
You know, I think just traditionally women kind of look at sex sometimes as a chore, and it's another thing on our to-do list that we've got to get done for ourselves or for our partner. And when you're chronically ill, it just falls further down on the list because you just don't feel like it. It takes a little bit of work and maneuvering and mental. You got to get your head into the game. And particularly if you're not feeling your best, communication with your partner becomes even more important. However, I think the benefits make it worth it, make it worth the effort. Just even the hormones and that are released when you have an orgasm, or just from being close and physical touch, I think are so beneficial in mental and physical well-being that it's kind of worth powering through and figuring it out.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to do it. You know, speaking from personal experience, when you don't feel well, it's a focus. It, you know, even though you want to take yourself out of your head, it's a journey of minute to minute, step by step. So planning something, you know, thinking about, okay, you know, here comes an opportunity. It's just like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted, or I feel so ill. I can't. And that leads to a lot of feelings of inadequacy, feelings of shame, feeling guilty that it's like that. And then, you know, you start resenting either the person who is feeling more sexual, or the person who feels more sexual and their resentment to the person who's not well. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You see this, and, you know, caregivers, whether they be the man or the woman, it's very difficult. And one of the things that I've learned is the caregivers really need to step back and realize it's not the person. You know, it's not their fault, but it's an illness, and I don't care what illness, if it's a Lyme illness, if it's, you know, a Crohn's illness, if it's something else, it really is what's happening in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that communication part is so mm-hmm. important. How do you encourage people to communicate?
You know, with sex, it's hard, and I don't think it's I think we make it harder than it needs to be. I mean, I think because I sell sex toys, it has gotten easier in our household. So we talk about, like, who's packing the lube for vacation, just like we talk about, like, do you have your passport? But I realize that we do. Like, do you have your passport? Like, oh, do you have lube? Like, it just, you know, but I don't take for granted that that is not the case for everyone. And so I encourage people to start the conversation outside of the bedroom. You know, you don't want to, like, if it's going to be a difficult discussion to have, or if it's something that makes you uncomfortable, you don't want to start that, like, when you're naked and, like, hoping all the kibbles and bits are working. And, you know, you want to have that conversation, because just like intimacy starts outside of the bedroom, so the conversation should start outside of the bedroom. And sometimes, you know, foreplay doesn't need to be just 5 minutes before you're ready for intercourse. It needs to be like, I need a foot rub because I don't feel well today, or you cook dinner, and so that's something that I don't have to do. You know, all of that, particularly for women, it's true for men too, but particularly for women, all of that stuff is really foreplay. It begins with the text, you know, from the office, what can I do to make your day better? Like, all of that is part of the experience.
Yeah, I love that. How can I help you? What mm-hmm. can I do to help you? I went to a conference, this was years back, but I'll tell you, it made an impact on me. And the woman was introduced, and she came up to the mic, and she paused, and she said, "You know what really turns me on?" And it got everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. And she said, "What my husband's done for me in the past 24 hours. He gets down there and washes that kitchen floor. Oh, honey, I'm going to take off all my clothes." And people really laughed. And mm-hmm. I think I can't be the only one that went home and thought about it and said, you know what? Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Don't make it so that I have to do everything. Mm-hmm. And then
I have to do this other thing. You're waiting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put this. Yeah. Let's try to have equal. It is. It's, you know, there's in most homes, people are both working.
Right.
And if you've got one of the partners working and not feeling well, for me, I would work. I would come home and I would have to, you know, walk my dogs. I would have to figure out supper. And I was between the stove and the couch. It was debilitating. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially if I feel badly for people who are traveling, because mm-hmm. traveling is tough on both sides of it. You either don't have that person at home, or if you're the one traveling, you know, you don't right. have that person to help you. So that's really, you know, that's really tough. And it brings about that feeling of insecurity. Mm-hmm. You know, do you ever talk to women who are, like, worried that their partners are having affairs?
Nobody's really admitted that to me at a party, but I do definitely talk to people who are afraid that that is an option, that that is something that might be in the back of his mind or in the back of their partner's mind. Yeah, definitely. It's a concern.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah. So, you know, I think trying to drop that old fashionedness that always hinders, especially women, you know, what we heard about sex growing up, or maybe what we didn't hear about sex growing up.
Yeah, that part.
I think, you know, I mean, God bless my mom, but it was always portrayed as taboo. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a bad thing unless you got married.
Right. And then you get married, and then nobody tells you what to do. There's no, like, handbook that says you don't have sex until you get married. And then you get married. Okay, but what am I supposed to do with this penis now? I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
Right. Yeah. So two things that go with that. When my mom came up to me, found out that my my boyfriend, now my husband, and I, we were all in college, and we actually found a way to go to the beach or something for an overnight. And she found out, she was so upset. And she, you know, really was berating me. And I said, well, Mom, I go, you try shoes on before you buy them, don't you? She didn't like that.
She didn't like that too much. She didn't
like that at all. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. But, you know, one of the things that I found in one of my previous podcasts, I heard it before, but I actually had a guest on my podcast who had Lyme disease, and one of his first symptoms was erectile dysfunction.
Hmm. Okay, now, interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting because, you know, he was really young. He was maybe barely into his 20s, and that, to me, that would have been frightening.
Right.
You know, and there is that fear component when you're not well, because you worry about, when is the end of this?
Right.
You know?
And how do I work around, like, is this life?
Right. Right. Is this the new normal?
Right.
You know, we don't like that new normal. We don't like that at all. And when we just spoke, you had something more important that I wanted to touch on again. And it was, intimacy doesn't have to be a physical, get naked, you know, orgasm kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk to women in the order room all the time because, you know, we deliver a home shopping experience, but it's really about, you know, you've got somebody that's been vetted by your friends that you can talk to that's not quite as scary as the guy at the sex shop with the piercings, which they're usually very nice. But, and women will talk a lot about that they don't know how to have the conversation if there's erectile dysfunction, and that their husband gets very upset, their partner gets very upset if things aren't like they used to be. And giving them permission to have the conversation with their partner about creating a new type of intimacy, creating a new sex life, and talking to, you know, because I've talked to men who are like, hey, you know, orgasm is not as important as it used to be when I was 30. I'm 50 now. I still want to be intimate, even if that's not the end goal. And so I think it's super important to have those conversations. We have so much fear around them, but I just think it opens up the possibility of creating something new together. You know,
what's the tagline for this? You know, honey, I want to talk to you about something.
Right.
What's the tagline?
I don't know that there's a tagline, but you know, my husband and I watch a lot of television. He's an actor. And then we both read a lot. And so I find that shows, TV shows like Grace and Frankie, and like, that is a nice way for a lot of people to open up a conversation, because you see something funny or handled well in a sitcom, and that can kind of start the ball rolling about, like, I'm laughing at that, but like, what do you really think about that? That's kind of, you know, comedy, it just gets me far in life.
comedy is a great release.
Yeah.
Because, and actually, come down the road a few more podcasts away from this one, is going to, you know, here we go talking about sex today, but then we're going to talk about humor and illness. So I'm going to have to remember that component.
Yeah. It's funny. Sex is funny and messy, and it's hilarious.
Well, if you can't have a sense of humor, right?
Right.
You know, there were studies done that scanning. I'm not sure what kind of scanning it was. I want to say it was like MRI of the brain, etc. And what they actually did is they had both men and women actually engaging in some sort of sexual behavior, whether it be masturbation. I can't imagine two people can fit in an MRI machine, you know, I'm not sure. That's a visual, huh? But then they showed the parts of the brain that lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it is so much in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the male response is truly an arc going up. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't usually slide back down unless the phone rings or the doorbell rings, but typically it's, you know, a crescendo. Mm-hmm. Whereas women's response are crescendo, decrescendo, crescendo, mm-hmm. decrescendo. And at that decrescendo, it might be, crap, I forgot to blah, blah, blah. I got to pay the bill. Oh my God. Oh, got to get back into this. Okay.
Right.
Right. Women are notoriously afraid to assist themselves, mm-hmm. in getting themselves aroused. I have to tell people that they're responsible for themselves. Mm-hmm. Now in my office, absolutely. In my exam room, I always had a great anatomical picture. And on occasion, and all across the age groups, I might come into the room and I would see somebody, hands on their hips, staring at the picture. And they would look at me and they'll go, I didn't know the pee hole was there. And they don't mean anatomy.
All the time. And I tell people, I'm the sex toy lady. You know, I know my stuff, but at the end of the day, like, I'm going to your house for a party. I should not be the first person that somebody's comfortable with talking about, and I shouldn't be the one explaining to people about their anatomy. But oftentimes I find myself in that position, particularly at parties with younger women, but even, you know, middle-aged women that don't kind of know their anatomy and where the parts are and how they're different and how they're connected. And it's amazing to me.
Well, there is an obvious way to look at your anatomy, and that's using a mirror. Mm-hmm. But some people have a very odd evaluation, or they don't find their themselves attractive. Mm-hmm. So you've got issues with illness, not feeling well. You've got body image. We know that, and actually maybe you don't know, but I know that nutrition plays a key role, mm-hmm. in how we feel, even if we're sick, but how we feel even when we're well. You know, nutritional deficiencies, the standard American diet, you know, we're putting ourselves at risk out there. But, mm-hmm. you know, coming back to the person and how they feel about themselves, you know, like, think about women who have had one or two mastectomies, mm-hmm. and now how do they feel about themselves? And, you know, I've heard both sides of the story. I have heard men feeling less than attracted to a woman. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, of course, from the women's side of it, that they don't feel like a woman anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that, without discussion, that whole portion of what you're telling me, and I want to emphasize, it is about discussion. And when you create that welcoming or open space, and you can talk, mm-hmm. then it's, you can help. Now, you know, people will say, oh, they go to sex therapists and they get homework and, you know, they do all these things. They might even just need to talk about where their issues are with general therapy. But I find that if you can just start a conversation at home, mm-hmm. even if it's a little bit, you know, and using the words I mm-hmm. feel. When people start saying you don't, forget it. They're defensive. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and for someone who went through it on the side of being so not well, I'm very, very fortunate that my being is mindful, and I'm mindful about other people's feelings. I'm mm-hmm. also I'm intuitive, so I can tell. You know, and you can tell, especially when your guy's getting a little cranky.
Right.
you know, something hasn't happened. And of course, you know, sometimes it's, yeah, like you said, it's lower on the totem pole.
Right.
To do that. But by being able to say, I feel, that might be a great way. I feel upset that. I feel uncomfortable that. I feel very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, I need, I love the I need. Do you use I need?
I do. I use I need, I prefer, I would love if. Yeah, I use, yeah, but definitely I need, because sometimes I just need time. I mean, this is not related to sex, but, you know, I remember I'm a light sleeper as I approach middle age. I don't sleep that well, and my husband snores, right? So being able to separate the illness from the person, I think is super important, because he kind of did not get when he would wake up in the morning and I was in a different room, that I was not upset with him. I get that you can't help snoring. However, I also need you to get that I'm tired because I can't sleep when you snore. Like, I can remove that from you, but it is still an issue that affects us and that we need to discuss. And being able to identify that independent of him and who he is and how wonderful he is. So I guess just kind of use that as an example of ways to have the conversation to eliminate the shame and the blame. And, you know, you can want to without wanting to.
Wait a minute. You can want to.
You can want to be aroused or in the mood.
Okay.
So you can want
I thought
to
you
want
had
to.
A stutter there for
no,
a
no.
You want to.
So you might not want to, but in your mind you want to, but you just don't, you know, you just don't. And being able to identify that and articulate it can kind of take some of the emotion out of the conversation.
Right.
Because it's a practical thing. And sometimes you just need to put it on the calendar.
You do.
It might not seem sexy, but sometimes you just gotta.
You gotta. Well, you know, that goes to something that I used to suggest to my patients, is to have a date night. Mm-hmm. When you're younger and you have this free time and you have the back seat of the car.
Right.
Okay, great. Right. You're right back. Don't even go back that way. Right, you know, that's okay. Then when you're married and you have children, especially when you have young children, they love their mommies. They're touching their mommies all day long. You might be breastfeeding. You know, you might have had, you know, this toddler hanging on your leg all day or for several days.
By yourself.
Yeah, because you're sick. And you just, please don't touch me. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. Now, if the marriage is healthy and good and, you know, it's work, I don't care what anyone tells me. It's not, you know, fireworks and shooting stars and, you know, beautifulness all the time. It is work. If you make it to the point where you get those kids out of the house and you have some freedom, mm-hmm. then that gives you a little bit more spontaneity. Mm-hmm. But that date night, and you can make rules for your date night, right?
Absolutely.
You can say our date night is for communication only. Mm-hmm. You stay on that side of the table. I'll stay on this side of the table.
Right.
We can play footsies.
Right.
You can hold my hand.
Yeah.
But, you know, showing love, showing support, sometimes it can be verbal. And sometimes it can be physical, and sometimes it can be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband will say to me, I've done laundry, I've cooked or whatever. And he says the most wonderful thing. Thank you for taking care of me. Mm-hmm. It's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that and you're, oh gosh, he noticed.
Right. Right.
Right. Right. And so, you know, that communication and that. Oh, that intimacy, you know, it's also hanging on the couch and just holding hands and watching something fun and laughing together. But it's also that communication. My husband, Joe, and I used to teach pre-cana courses. And that's prior to getting married in the Catholic Church. And it was very unconventional because it was all the lay people teaching and all kinds of topics, you know, parenting, finance, communication. And I don't know what happened, but I guess we drew the short straw because we walked back into the room and they said, okay, here's your topic. And it was on intimacy. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Can I, you know, is this like, you know, a Chinese thing where I can switch things around.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, no, no, no. Everybody held tightly their topic. So we had to start thinking about that and bringing to light the fact that, and my husband made a great analogy, if you start off together, but then you veer off in other directions, just ever so slightly, you continue on that path. When you wake up, you're going to be so far away from each other mm-hmm. that it's hard. Think about a plane. Mm-hmm. You take off from your airport, but if you're a certain number of degrees to the right or left off, you're never going to get to your destination.
Right.
And, you know, we know that, what? About 50% of marriages don't make it.
Right.
Yeah. Relationships.
It's like being on a road trip. Like, you know, there's a couple of us in different cars and we might not see each other on the road, but you got to have a plan to like, okay, we're meeting up at the rest stop.
Oh, yes.
Six exits for now. We're going to get to the destination. We might get there slightly different times, but we're still on the same path.
Right.
At the end of the day is right. Yeah, super important.
It is. It is. And, you know, I've met several women who have adjusted to the fact that their man is really not sexual anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to approach that sometimes. And I guess, thinking back, maybe asking that person what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And for some women, it's okay.
Right.
And for some women, it's really not okay.
Right.
And that might be a great place for your deal to come in mm-hmm. and talking to women and offering them suggestions and, you know, utilizing things that they were never. Maybe they were thought was really taboo,
right?
But in your product line, you have a lot of options.
We do have a lot of options. We have, you know, because people think of us as just toys, but we have a lot of like arousal creams and gels and things that can like, you know, help with sensation. But my favorite thing about our line is, you know, my mother had ovarian cancer, and not that I, you know, you don't know what the connection is to nutrition and how difficult it was to treat her and things like that. But after that, I became very concerned, and I live in LA, but I became very concerned about everything that I put on and in my body. And so I noticed that our line is very particular about being phthalate free, you know, ABS plastic, medical grade silicone, all of our liquids and lubes are all natural. So all of that is very important to me because at the end of the day, you know, sex, we just talked about, it's in your head so much. I also then don't want to be concerned about, is this lube safe to put in my vagina? Like, you know, I don't want to have to worry about if I'm doing anything toxic. I already had fried chicken for lunch. Like, I need to, I need to redirect and, you know, correct. I need to make sure that I'm taking care of the whole person. And so that just alone gives me kind of a sense of peace that I'm using the best quality products in my most sensitive areas. That's important.
Well, absorption.
Yep.
Mucous membranes. It's a huge high rate of absorption.
People don't think about it.
No.
All.
No.
They'll take a toy out of the pack that they got on the internet. They don't know where it's been, and they'll put it right up there. Hoo-ha, I can't. I don't believe it. All the time people do that. I'm like, no.
We got to wash that. We got to wash that. But you know, people who are dealing with chronic illnesses, everything that they're exposed to, they have to detoxify. And a lot of times when you're doing treatment, even cancer treatments, mm-hmm. you got a lot on board that you just don't want to add
yep.
fuel to the fire.
Yep.
So as natural as can be, you know, and as women age, their ability to lubricate is reduced. Mm-hmm. Once women are bouncing around in perimenopause, they might be a little bit more lubricated and then all of a sudden not.
Right.
And then a little more and then a little not. And then as women enter and complete menopause and they're quote unquote postmenopausal mm-hmm. and unless they're on hormone replacement therapy, which I'm a huge proponent, they need something else, you know? And
people act like it is taboo to need lube. I do not understand this conversation. I moved from the East Coast to California 15 years ago. My skin completely changed. I had to change all my lotions. Like, I had to start drinking more water. It took a while for my body to adjust. This was not a shameful conversation. I need thicker lotion was not a shameful conversation. Why is I'm older and I need a different lube, or I need lube and I never needed it before? People act like because they need lube and they didn't always need it, that something is wrong with their body. And like, I just have not, I don't understand that conversation at all. Like, lube is the lotion for your vagina.
But people are not educated. Mm-hmm. People are not educated. You know, when my kids were younger, my kitchen counter was the learning place. I would on purpose bring home my gynecologic, dermatologic book and sometimes leave like a piece creased or something that would make someone notice it, open it up, and it might be a whole page on sexually transmitted infections and what they look like. Mm-hmm. And that would freak people out. But then they'd start the conversation.
Yep.
Or, hey, mom, can you teach so-and-so about tampons? Oh, sure, go get a tampon, you know? And we would talk about how it's used, your anatomy, the angle of the vagina. Mm-hmm. And then the best part was filling up a little bit of water in a clear glass, putting the tampon in there and watching it expand. And notoriously, there were about six eyes on it, three pair of eyes going, whoa.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Whoa. So, you know, maybe I did a service. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'd have to check that out.
And I have a vulva puppet that I take to parties, and that really helps lighten up the conversation because it's anatomically correct, but it's like big and fluffy and purple. Yeah. And the clitoris is easy to see, and that helps. I mean, people laugh a little, but I do. So people say, "Can you bring that vulva puppet over here? I have some questions."
So oh my God. You know, yeah. What? Back in the day, I taught childbirth classes, so I had a snap-on, snap-off vagina.
Oh,
because it was knitted. It was a uterus with a vagina, and if you rolled back the vagina, you'd see the cervix. And we would laugh hysterically when I'd snap off the vagina and make a comment about, "Hey, honey, are you going to use that vagina this weekend?
Right, right, right.
Can I take it away? I'm going away with the boys."
But it does help people visualize, and they can actually see, and it lightens the mood.
Well, it does. It does. And I don't think in a school where they teach sex ed, I think they spend a lot of time trying to make it healthy and, yeah, you know, this is how you protect yourself. But
right,
there isn't anywhere that really they talk about it because, you know, talking about it gives younger people permission.
Right.
Right. Right. So that can be, that's another topic, not right, another right, conversation, right?
Right. Right.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Botanical medicines are an important part of the Integrative Lyme Disease Program. Biocidin from Biobotanical Research is a professional strength broad-based program that has been extensively researched for effectiveness as nutritional support in Lyme and co-infections. Ask your practitioner about Biocidin LSF and visit biocidin.com. Master Supplements specializes in probiotic enzymes and fiber that support digestion. Their products provide results that you can feel working within 60 days or a money-back guarantee. Their staff is available to help you decide which products and programs are right for you. Visit master-supplements.com or call 800-926-2961 for more info.
You know, back to the person who's got the chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I our speakers at conferences, and we talk about surviving Lyme disease as a couple. And we're met with different reactions. Some of the reactions are, "Oh my God, I wish, you know, my partner, whatever, it was here because it makes so much sense." And then a few times, which was heartbreaking because I wanted to make a difference, and I had someone actually say it was too painful to listen to. And those people I'm making the assumption that their relationship broke up because of that. So the basis of that is that if you have an issue in your marriage that you have not confronted, so you know your paths are going like that V in different directions, then all of a sudden, a straw that breaks the camel's back.
Right.
Right. And then they just, it's easier to leave than it is to fix it.
Yeah.
So fixing things on a regular basis and talking, right? Talking is going to help, because if you get that excuse, you know, one of the best stories that has a really nice happy ending was Dr. Neil Spector and his wife. He was really sick. This is a story that most Lyme sufferers and warriors are well aware of. He is an oncologist. And lo and behold, after years of not feeling well and being told by his counterparts that it's all in his head, ended up with this huge cardiac event and needed a heart transplant. He actually had to have a heart transplant. And he's really doing well. He's at work. He's making big strides and trying to find better therapies to treat Lyme disease. But both of them were medical people. His wife, I believe, is a nurse. And having that, I don't know if that really helps. You know, I just wonder with people who are completely opposite, someone who really knows anatomy, someone who doesn't know anatomy, and they can't really blend it together. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest? Like when women come and they want to learn and you're invited to, you know, host a get together at someone's home, outside of your vulva that you bring with you, what else do you bring with you?
I think, I'd bring, you know, lotions and potions and and lube. And, you know, we do have some male products. And, I joke about me making people comfortable talking about the most intimate parts of their lives. But it really is something that I think is a gift to be able to hold that space for people. Because I made a joke one time, we have a male silicone masturbatory sleeve that I demonstrate at parties, and I put lube on it and I pass it around so the women can, or men, can see what it feels like to give a hand job. And so some people always say, well, why do I need this? What's wrong with my hands? And I just joke about, like, you know, making our lives easier because we work so hard. It's called a blowjob for a reason. You know, like, you know, how can you make that easier? But I joke about if you have carpal tunnel, if you have, you know, pain, that can really ease, you know, the burden. If you know, you have sore wrists, just things that you don't think about. And I always said it as a joke, but it was real. Well, somebody came to me in the order room. She said, I know everybody was laughing, but she said, I have arthritis. And she said, I have TMJ. And she said, I need two of those. She said, that's a real conversation that people.
Wait a minute. Why two?
No, she was joking about needing two. No, right. Just so I have a backup in case, like one for travel. So that was her joke. Like, but she was saying how, like, being able to be intimate with her husband and, you know, perform oral sex on him or a hand job without it causing her pain was way more important than she knew anybody else in that party got. But the fact that I had said that, even in a joking way, she felt connected. And so I just think being able to identify and once again separate, compartmentalize, and really talk about not just that you've got this illness, that you've got a chronic illness, but what is happening, because, you know, it shifts and changes. So, but what's happening in your body today? Like, today you might have a pain-free day, or might not be in a whole lot of pain, or you might have different symptoms than somebody else with the same illness has. So really being able to identify, like, you know, my hips hurt today. Oh, Frida's got a pillow for that, like a positioning pillow and some positioning straps, and really being able to talk about what the challenges are. You know, can open up, once again, open up conversation about, like, oh, because challenges I can deal with. There's something for me to adjust or fix. We can deal with that versus trying to deal with this whole big thing of, like, oh, my spouse or my partner is sick.
Yeah, you know what? That's a Grace and Frankie episode, right?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that sitcom there that was on, that's on Netflix. They just started a new season again.
I know. I haven't had a chance to catch up, but I saw it last weekend. I was like, oh, new season's out.
Yeah, no, because those women, you know, as older women, were trying to utilize a company of producing vibrators that helped women to satisfy their needs in an angle that didn't cause more pain in their arthritic hands.
It's the truth, like being able to position in your wrist. Yeah, they wanted something that was ergonomically, like, was a little better to handle. And also, because I've gotten this question, to be able to see the lights, like when you want to change speeds, like things that you don't think about, like if you're being intimate and it's dark in the room, but I can't see the controller on the vibrator, like that's annoying. Now I got to turn on the lights. It's like, I make a joke about, we have a massage oil candle, which is something else I like to talk about, particularly if someone's not feeling well, being able to give your partner a massage. So we have these massage oil candles that are soy and hemp based. And I joke about the fact that, you know, they will stay lit. And you can pour the wax, it's not wax, but you can pour the soy on your partner because it won't burn like wax. It doesn't burn as hot. And I go, but for me, that's also important to be able to leave it lit and not have to blow it out, because I have astigmatism. I can't see in the dark. I'm dark. My husband's dark. The room's black. I need a little bit of light from the candle. So like, if I got to blow it out to give him a massage, then we got a whole different, like we have a whole different set of problems here.
So that's good.
These are things I really think about. That little bit of light leads the way.
That's exactly right. And your ability to make people comfortable is truly such a positive feature.
Oh, well, you know? Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, your job or your niche is so much better than Tupperware parties, don't you think?
I mean, I do. I think it's a lot of fun. It is. I tell people it's the most fun I've ever had making money. And don't get me wrong, I make good money. But as I've now been in the industry for 5 years, I really, because I'm a coach at heart, and a trainer, corporate trainer. My background's in human resources. So at the end of the day, I'm so happy if somebody can leave a party with me with some information that they didn't have, something new to think about, as well as some products that are going to enhance their sex life. That to me is like, I can't get enough of that. It's like my little corner of the world where I get to help people. And I'm so thankful for it.
Absolutely. Because you know what? I don't think that any gentleman, you know, speaking from the woman's point of view, I don't think that any gentleman is going to be upset that you spent some extra money on something to enhance their sexual being.
Right.
You know,
right. Exactly.
They're thrilled. They're thrilled with a cute pair of panties or, you know, something to spice things up. And I just want to encourage people to communicate and think about that date night and think about spicing things up a little bit, because it is important and it's a constant battle for some people to feel mm-hmm. that way. You talked about hormones and stuff. I do want to talk about that. You have a lot of healing with intimacy and orgasm. There are certain chemicals, endorphins, that actually can help you feel good. And you know, it's so funny because my husband is, you know, had terrible headaches, or he hurt his back or whatever, and he's always laughing. He says, you know what, he goes, I didn't have any pain for that little bit of time that we were fooling around.
Yep.
You forget about it. Yep. And it's a little bit of a vacation. Mm-hmm. But again, it is all a mindset. And yep.
Cramps, migraines, orgasm helps with all of that.
Yeah. I know it might be temporary, and I know people will say, well, then have more sex. But I think that it is something that people don't feel comfortable about, and they just need to start a conversation, like you said. I love that. I love that topic. This has been really fun. I don't know.
I've enjoyed it. I've had a great time.
Yeah. How do people reach you?
So I have my cell phone number, which is actually one of my business line, which is 818-860-7299. You can text me there anytime. But also my website is fredahobbs.com. FredaHobbs, fredahobbs.com.
Do you do virtual?
I do. I'm starting to use Zoom to do, because I do a lot of training with my team on Zoom. But yeah, I'm starting to do virtual parties as well, because I do some Facebook Live, but I do find that people want to see you and be able to see what you're talking about. And so, yes, I do virtual parties. That's absolutely an option.
Yeah. Just like we're recording this on Zoom, and my integrative health practice is on a platform for video conferencing. It's all the rage. You know, it's the beginning of change in the industry. So it's really pretty cool. You know, usually I ask some crazy questions at the end, but I want to change it this time.
Okay.
Frida, what's on your bucket list?
Gosh, what is on my bucket list? I don't know that I have a bucket list.
Oh, for goodness sake.
My husband and I, we don't have kids. So we just kind of live life. Like, what do you want to do this year? We kind of live from year to year. But really, if I've won a couple $1 million tomorrow, I would make him a movie. He's just I know that's not, has nothing to do with sex, but he's a really talented actor. And Hollywood is so much about waiting for someone else to say yes. I'm like, let's just make you a movie. So that's what I do, because we love entertainment and stories so much. I think he has a great story to tell.
That's really neat. That's really neat. My bucket list item, I want to be on the Today Show.
Oh, okay. All right.
I watch the Today Show every day, and I swear to goodness, I feel like they know me, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I know them. It's like, well, hi, it's me, Cindy. I watch you every single day.
Yeah.
Do you see me? I'm right here. Oh. You're interrupting me. I'm talking now, not you.
I do love the Today Show. Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool. So for everybody out there, this has been a wonderful, wonderful pleasure talking about a topic that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And certainly I'm hoping that it opened up some ideas for you people who are listening to this and making you think about striking up that conversation and opening up yourself to a little bit of vulnerability and maybe some pleasure at some point. This has been Cindy Kennedy with Living with Lyme, and come back and join us another time and make a list, make your bucket list. Okay. Take care. Bye, peoples.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Living with Lyme. We'd like to take another moment to thank our sponsors. Botanical medicines are an important part of an integrative Lyme disease program. Biocidin from Biobotanical Research is a professional strength, broad spectrum formula that has been extensively researched for effectiveness as a nutritional support in Lyme and co-infections. University studies have shown that this combination of plant medicines is also effective on biofilms that may be hampering treatment, as well as providing broadly acting herbal support. The liposomal form of biocidin, called biocidin LSF, is used by Lyme-literate physicians such as Dr. Richard Horowitz and Dr. Jill Carnahan. Ask your practitioner about biocidin LSF and visit biocidin.com for more information. Master Supplements. Does living with Lyme ever get overwhelming and finding the right support seem difficult? Well, Master Supplements can help. Master Supplements specializes in probiotics, enzymes, and fiber that help support digestive and immune health during and after antibiotics. Master Supplements products provide results that you can feel working with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Their staff is available to help you decide which products and programs are right for you. Master Supplements is dedicated to science-based products with the highest standards of quality control. Visit master-supplements.com for more information or call and talk to a team member at 800-926-2961. That's master-supplements.com or 800-926-2961. Thanks so much again for listening to Living with Lyme. We'd like to remind you that if you have not done so already, please subscribe to the podcast. You can visit our website at livingwithlyme.us so you make sure you don't miss any episodes. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.